Good morning. I want to welcome you to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin, the mother church of Unitarian Universalism in Austin, Texas, which has spawned at least four other groups here in the city. And I am privileged to be the minister of one of those churches, the Live Oak Church up in Northwest Austin. Myself and Mary Kay Isaacs and her children, Mignon and Will Isaacs, will be your worship and music leaders for the day.
The Reverend Chuck Freeman has served as Minister of Spiritual Life with Live Oak Unitarian Universalist Church in Austin, Texas, since 1996. He is the creator, producer, and host of the radio program Soul Talk in its 13 years of broadcasting. Chuck is the founder and president of the Free Souls Project, promoting the integration of spirituality, democracy, and ethics from a liberal faith perspective. His op-ed pieces have been published in the Austin American Statesman and with Austin's NPR affiliate, KUT.
And Mary Kay Isaacs is a lifelong Unitarian Universalist, educator, writer, musician, and mother of four. Currently living in Houston, preaching at the First Church of Austin is a joyful return. Many of you know Mary Kay. I can tell by the smiles on your faces. For this was her home church for many years. Her lay ministry through preaching and music has taken she and her children throughout the Southwest District. Mary Kay is currently writing a curriculum for the UUA's Tapestry of Faith series, and is very happy to be moving back home to Austin in the late summer.
Mignon and Will Isaacs Bryant, guest musicians for the day, spent quite a bit of time here in earlier years. Since then, they've done quite a lot of growing, and they're back to share what they have learned. We gather to seek, to find, and to share the promise of honest religion. And so it is a sacred time, this, and a sacred place, this.
A place for questions more profound than answers.
Vulnerability more powerful than strength.
And the peace that casts all our shame.
It is a sacred time, this. Let us begin it together in song. This morning's reading is from the Shema Yisrael, also called the Shema, which is considered the most important prayer in Judaism. Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall speak of them when you sit and when you walk along the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And it shall come to pass, if you surely listen to the commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that I will give rain to your land, the early and the late rains, that you may gather in your grain, your wine, and your oil. And I will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat, and you will be satisfied. Beware lest your heart be deceived, and you turn and serve other gods and worship them, and anger of the Lord will blaze against you, and he will close the heavens, and there will not be rain, and the earth will not give you fullness. And you will perish quickly from the good land that the Lord gives you. So you shall put these, my words, on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them for signs on your hands, and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes. and you shall teach them to your children. And you shall speak of them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, in order to prolong your days and the days of your children on the land that the Lord promised your fathers that he would give them, as long as the days that the heavens are over the earth. Thus ends the reading.
Edward Winkler was the only Jew I knew in Fort Stockton, Texas. And if you've been there, that won't surprise you. I was a minister at that time of the Church of Christ, not the Disciples of Christ, not the United Church of Christ, but the Church of Christ. And I was going to do a sermon where Jesus mentions in the Gospel of Matthew about phylacteries. Does anyone know what a phylactery is? I see a few nods of the head. Well, it was what was referred to in the reading about you shall wear it as a frontlet between your eyes, on your arms and hands, on the doorpost. It is the phylactery that goes here. It's a little box, and inside is that commandment to love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. And so I went to Mr. Winkler's store. He was on the board of the First National Bank there, and he owned a clothing store in Fort Stockton. And I said, Mr. Winkler, I did not call him Edward. I was a young man at the time. I said, Mr. Winkler, I'm going to be doing a sermon at my church about phylacteries. Could I borrow one from you? And his brow furrowed immediately. And he said, I am not going to have some Christian group making fun of Judaism. Oh, no, Mr. Winkler. No. That is not my intent at all. I have great respect for the passion and for the zeal of a commandment like this, that it would be so close to our hearts that we would wear it as a frontlet between our eyes, and we would wear it on our arms and our hands, and we put it on our doorposts. Oh no, Mr. Winkler, I have great respect for the passion of your religion. And I noticed his body language shifted. He became more relaxed, more inviting. And indeed, he did give me a phylactery that went between the eyes and to be worn on the arms. And I was able to illustrate more clearly to my congregation what it means in the Jewish faith to literally obey this command. And let me say that in my 13 years of formally being a Unitarian Universalist, I say that because, like many of you, I think I was one for a long time, but I hadn't found the church yet. And interestingly for me, I didn't formally become a Unitarian Universalist until I became a minister of the Live Oak Church, but that's a whole other sermon. But in my 13 years, I have become aware of the intersection of the Jewish prophetic tradition and the heart of Unitarian Universalism. The old school Jewish prophet named Amos called out the nation of Israel. You sell the righteous for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes. You trample the head of the poor into the dust, and you deny justice to the oppressed. And the new prophet on the block, Unitarian minister Theodore Parker in the 1840s, he exhorted us to be the church militant. that sounds the alarm whenever there is a public sin. And Parker preached, "The state is a bundle of shams. It is based on force, not love. A Christian state, quote unquote, is an anomaly. Our laws degrade one half of the population. The present property scheme puts upon us awful evils to the rich and no less the poor." Jewish theologian Abraham Joshua Heschel writes that the Jewish religion understands that life is a partnership of God and man. God is a partner and a partisan in man's struggle for justice, peace, and holiness. The prophet of Israel, he says, are like geysers of disgust, disturbing our conscience, urging us to be heartsick for the hurt of others, expressed as love, mercy, or anger. Unitarian theologian of the 20th century, James Luther Adams. He taught that we need a firm belief in the prophethood of all believers. In the prophetic liberal church, Adams says, we concern ourselves with human decency and justice with the intention of making history in the place of merely being pushed around by it. Well, the Jewish and the Unitarian Universalist faiths have been history makers. Both faiths have had mind-blowing, sit up and take notice impact on the global and the United States culture, particularly relative to their size. There are around 14 million Jews in the world. But Judaism birthed two major world religions, Christianity and Islam. And now over half of the world's population practice those religions from their parent religion, Judaism. Our concepts of law, of a legal system, of humanism are rooted in Judaism. And the democratic principle of dialectic and dialogue and argumentation, some of us participate in that, do we not? Is right there in the whole rabbinic tradition. It's reflected in this Jewish proverb, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. There are approximately 500,000 Unitarian Universalists in the world. Most of them reside in America and in the North American continent. And yet we have had a substantive, transformational influence on this nation and on this culture. There is virtually no area of concern in this nation that Unitarians and Universalists have not only impacted, but been leaders in. Government, education, the judiciary, technology, the arts, publishing, science, theology, interfaith dialogue. You and I are inheritors of a rich rich faith. We have been pioneers and foot soldiers for human rights of virtually every stripe. Abolition of slavery, equality of women and their right to vote, civil rights, gay rights, peace and nonviolence, prison reform, abolition of the death penalty, which we had many leaders in this congregation participating in that, working for years for this to come to fruition, fair treatment of the mentally ill, of prisoners, activism for the right to die. Once again, people in this congregation, leaders in that. Reproductive rights, economic and environmental justice. So the ancient prophet Amos wails, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. Hate evil and love good. Establish justice in the courts. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." And Unitarian William Channing Gannett echoes in poetic verse. It sounds along the ages, soul answering to soul. It kindles on the pages of every Bible scroll. The psalmist heard and sang it. From martyr lips it broke. In prophet tongues outrang it, till sleeping nations woke. Amen.
And you shall teach these things diligently to your children, and you shall speak of them when you sit, and when you walk along the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. This describes a life infused night and day with identity and meaning. The Jewish people do identity exceedingly well. They transmit identity very intentionally from generation to generation. It is part of being Jewish to pass on Jewish heritage. And being Jewish is separate from religious practice. Once you are Jewish, no matter what else you are, you're always a Jew. I have always been a UU. I'm a lifer. I've always loved being a Unitarian Universalist. When my children were very little, we did not yet go to church, but I always knew I was Unitarian Universalist, and I felt like our family was Unitarian Universalist. We were not going to church, but I taught my kids Unitarian Universalist values. They were loving, confident, curious, kind, generous, smart, funny, sweet, and many other things. They knew all the words for those qualities, too, because, of course, we talked. Through actions and concepts, I gave them Unitarian Universalism, but I did not name it. I did not give what I was giving them its name. We talked the issues, but we did not talk identity. Now, I'm a Unitarian Universalist. I believe in talking. But I did not say, well, we're Unitarian Universalists, so let's think about what that would be like for the other person. I did not say, we are UUs, and UUs value peace, and so we're going to figure out how this is going to work out between you two. I did not say, oh, we're going to go out later and do all of our errands at once because that'll save gasoline and it'll be better for the environment. It's the UU thing to do. No, those are things I did not say. I did not say them because I didn't think it was necessary. After all, it's not the organization that's important, but the content, right? It's not the name, but the journey. Well, I think I was wrong, and I think I shortchanged my kids and our faith. I didn't give the children the name that described this body they were part of, bigger than themselves, with the connection to all these people and an amazing religious legacy. I shortchanged Unitarian Universalism by creating in my own household what we're so fond of noting in non-UUs, Unitarian Universalists who don't know they are, like you were for a while. And that, creating UUs who don't know they are, is an excellent way to kill a church. Okay, it's time for a joke. What do you get when you cross a Mormon with a Unitarian Universalist? Has anybody heard this one? When you cross a Mormon with a Unitarian Universalist, you get someone who knocks on your door for no reason at all. Well, I think we have reasons for doing things, don't you? Well, at least usually. Well, Michael Jarrell thinks we have the wrong reasons a lot of times. Michael Jarrell is a brilliant church analyst and author of the book, The Almost Church. Michael Jarrell says that Unitarian Universalists are mired in individualism and that we must reinvent ourselves or face oblivion by mid-century. Pretty heavy words. He's not saying that individuals aren't valuable, but that the church loses strength and purpose when attention isn't paid to what we are when we're together. He says we try to be all things to all people and fail. Jarrell says we should get out of the satisfaction business. Well, then, if the satisfaction biz is no good, then what should we concentrate on? Well, we have some choices. I've been writing a world religions curriculum for the Unitarian Universalist Association's Tapestry of Faith series. And in that, I have found that religions that have lasted hundreds or thousands of years follow a fascinating pattern. Faiths with staying power do one of two things well. Either they are very good at proselytizing, getting out the message out there and pulling in new people, or they have a very strong sense of identity. Here's the bad news, though. In my opinion, at this moment, Unitarian Universalism is not very good at either one of those. So if we were going to choose one, though, which would it be? Would it be proselytizing, or would it be the strong identity? Any opinions? Well, on the one hand, our theological underpinnings are predominantly from faiths that are small, influential for their size, with strong identities. The Jews, the Congregationalists, the Quakers, to name only a few. About proselytizing, we tend to be divided. Proselytizing used to be practically an unmentionable in Unitarian Universalist circles. That was something that fundamental evangelists did and was not worthy of consideration. But in recent years, some Unitarian Universalists have been saying, we have a gospel too. Gospel literally translates as good news. We have good news to share. The current association president, Bill Sinkford, exhorted us to take back the language of reverence, prayer, God. More UUs are calling Unitarian Universalism a saving faith. And there are people who call themselves UU evangelists. But still, for most Unitarian Universalists, proselytizing falls somewhere between unsavory and repellent. And here's why. If we really value everyone's journey equally, then something doesn't quite sit right about telling people our way is better than theirs. So most Unitarian Universalists don't want to spread the good news about our saving faith. But we do still want more people to come. Okay, well then, if we just say that strengthening and transmitting our identity is more in line with our current tradition and a good path to survival, how do we do that? Well, I think we only have two problems in order to do that. One is that we don't know who we are. Little problem. And second is that what we do know is too complicated to communicate. Another little one. Well, okay, since we have simple problems, we can offer simple solutions. Okay, first one, we don't know who we are. Well, I contend that in a way, it doesn't matter that we don't know who we are. I'll get to that in a second. Secondly, what we do know is too complicated to communicate. Well, we shouldn't try to tell everything at once. So let's look at each of these for a moment. Ralph Waldo Emerson said to beware of what you worship, because what you are worshiping, you are becoming. We love that perpetual becoming. But if you are always becoming and never get there, then how do you know what you are? The answer is, it's okay if we can't nail down exactly what we individually are, if we know who we together are. Every individual among us is constantly growing and changing. Our religion, of course, is too, but much more slowly than any personal evolution. What we are talking about transcends individual identity. This speaks to our identity as a religious people. And in that arena, there are things that we know. There are things that endure, or we wouldn't be here. All right, I have another joke for you. In Of Human Bondage, Somerset Maugham wrote, "A Unitarian very earnestly disbelieves in almost everything that anybody else believes, and he has a very lively sustaining faith, and he doesn't quite know what." Which somewhat illustrates the second problem, too complicated. It's too complicated to communicate simply. Well, that's absolutely right. The Unitarian Universalist elevator speech is a convenient tool so that you don't have to worry about being caught without a pithy synopsis. But the truth is, Unitarian Universalism is too big to print on a cocktail napkin. So where do we start? Well, think about this. How do you learn about a really complex character on a good TV show? Through bits and pieces, scattered through the whole series. Human beings come to understand each other's feelings for them, from countless little actions, touches, smiles, glances, the little repeated interactions, much more than from the isolated big ones. So we start by recognizing how our faith looks in our lives. And those little things will tie back to the big things that we share. Like a pointillist painting, the little things will bring the big things into focus. This is how really important things are shared in little doses, all the time, over time. And this is what I want for us. I want for it to become part of being a Unitarian Universalist, to pass it on. As a denomination, we've congratulated ourselves long enough, in my opinion, on being the theological equivalent of oxygen, the thing that everybody uses but doesn't even know is there. If we save talking about our faith for conversations about religion, we will pass away. We will disperse into invisibility just like oxygen. But our faith goes with us everywhere we go. And it is too deep, too wide, too rich to be conveyed only on Sunday morning. The way for it to have a face and a name is for you, for us, to give them to it. When you feel that some action is an expression of your faith, name it. Say it aloud. When you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise. And take heart. We will improve with practice. And even better, as we teach others, we will learn. We will crystallize our own understanding of our faith as we go. Okay, I have one last joke for you. A UU family moves into a new neighborhood. Their little girl finds a new playmate, and they're happily getting to know each other. One day, the playmate asks, "We're Episcopalians. What are you?" The UU child thinks for a moment and says, "I think we're a League of Women Voters." You know, I bet that really happened. But we have the power to make these jokes a little less true. In our prophetic tradition, the prophets are you. We are the voices in the wilderness. This is not proselytizing, I propose, but showing our identity for what it is. We are wrapping the invisible man. And together, we will set loose not a crushing flood, but the patient drips of water that over millennia feed and transform everything they touch. Amen, and blessed be.
We leave this sacred time together. Our world needs us and the spirit we carry forth.
Let us come to life, truth, and the kingdom that we seek.
Amen.